Welcome to Your Ink Story, a podcast exploring what humans have in common through the stories behind the body art folks wear. I'm your host, Andy Lyons, and I hope these ink-spirational short stories, sharing the heart behind tattoos, fascinate you and leave you feeling more meaningfully connected to humanity. This is Season 1, Episode 28, and our remarkable guest, Kendra Petty, has withstood the kind of hardships most people can't even imagine. From surviving a mafia hit and escaping the clutches of an abusive cult, to the harrowing battles with breast cancer and mental illness within her family, Kendra's life reads like a page-turning thriller. Yet, here she stands, with a palm tattoo that reminds her every single day that she's not just a survivor, but a beacon of hope and powerful healing. Welcome to Your Ink Story, Kendra. I'm so delighted you're here to share your ink story.
Andy, thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here. I'm honored.
Oh, I'm delighted to have you too. And listeners, get ready because this is going to be a delicious, inspirational conversation. Kendra, before we start talking about your tattoo, let's inspire folks for 2024 with your words of wisdom. I mean, you have this amazing book out called I Can't Believe I'm Not Dead, Escaping Abuse, a Cult, Attempted Murder, and Other Insanities. And I have to tell you, Kendra, of all the people I've met, life has dealt you some wild and real hairy cards. Being the target of a mafia hit, narrowly escaping an abusive cult, and battling breast cancer. What inspired you to collate all these stories and share them with the world through a book instead of hiding out and just being grateful that you could get up every day?
Well, you said it perfectly, Andy. That's really where I was at before I wrote the book. I was literally hiding out and, you know, just barely getting up as a survivor. And I think so many people get stuck in that survivor mode. And I have had a lifetime of trauma and tragedy. The three things you mentioned are just some of the things that are in the book. And it's just been a continuous cycle of PTSD. And the pinnacle of my trauma was, as you mentioned, being the target of a attempted murder by an organized crime family that I worked for that I did not originally know that they were who they were. And that really shut me down. I had dealt with so much through my life and I just kept pushing through. But that and what happened to me and then the fallout from that and all the illnesses from the fallout from that just shut me down for about a decade. All I did was fight for my life and fight to get healthy. And it was very fearful of allowing people in my home. And I shut down all my social media. I mean, I just really, you know, I just stopped socializing and really stopped living. And about 5 years ago, I hit a wall with living that way. And with just all this that I've been dealing with my whole life, really some very unrelatable things that I went through. Some are relatable for some people, but a lot of things are just real head scratchers. And so 5 years ago, when I hit this wall, I said, you know, enough is enough is enough. I have got to figure out why my life has continued to be this cycle of trauma and tragedy. And I've got to figure out how to heal from it, both physically, mentally, emotionally, heal my heart, my mind, my soul, so that hopefully I can change that trajectory. And so I really started digging in, started to read and learn and try to find ways to heal. I worked with a lot of homeopathic doctors, but also a lot of energy healers, spent a lot of time in Sedona, which is just an incredible place for healing. But I just put into place a lot of steps for that healing. And one of the things that I did in one of those steps was write this book. I didn't do it alone. I had a ghostwriter help me and it took us 3 years. But that in and of itself was so much more of a healing process than I would have ever thought. And it continues to be a healing process for things like this. I get to talk to you about some of the things I went through and all of that just adds to it.
Well, and what it does too, Kendra, and thank you for having the courage to do the work to get to the place you were strong enough to then be able to go out and relive your story. Because when you go and share your stories of trauma, you have to have a way of compartmentalizing them so that you are an observer versus getting triggered and reignited again. 100%. So I'm so grateful that you had the courage to do that. But also, what you are providing is representation. Folks, life is hard. Humans are fragile, okay? We're frail and we're put through terrible things, especially childhood. It's always the gateway, right, to all of our problems. And to see someone like Kendra, who readily admits like a decade of trying to just survive. And then you found ways to heal. And we were talking about this. We're always diving deep into healing and growing and progressing as human beings here on the show, using ink as our platform. But in episode 27, Mia Voss, same thing. She went and did the plant medicine retreats to help her shift and help her heal decades of challenges, including a cult, by the way. And in episode 22, Melissa shared her breast cancer story and said, I refuse to say survivor. She is a sir-thriver. And so these stories are so important to hear because listeners, any of you who are out there, they're just really struggling and can't find the energy to even think about doing the work because it's hard when you make the decision, right, Kendra, to say, I'm going to fix this, for crying out loud. You still have to do some really hairy, hard things. It's still worth it. And there are different modalities that we can choose. So thank you for being that representation. Let's talk about what came first, working for the mafia, the cult, you know, all of that. Take us through the storyline there.
Sure, sure. It's a pretty wild ride. I'll give you the cliff notes, but I was born and raised in Oklahoma, born on a farm and raised in another part of Oklahoma, not on the farm, but the farm is still in our family, a very important part of our heritage. My mother is mentally ill, severely mentally ill, and she was very abusive, both physically, emotionally, verbally, mentally. My older brother, when he was 10 and I was 8, he was my best friend and we were together and he was killed in a very horrific accident while we were together. And that really led to the breaking down of my mother, even further her mental capability. But it also, for me, being there and witnessing it, and it was very gruesome, and being a survivor, I obviously developed survivor's guilt, didn't know what that was for decades, but developed survivor's guilt, also blame myself for his death. I developed horrific night terrors that lasted a lifetime, but it really sent my mom even further over the edge. And so there was just so much more abuse.
Sure.
Horrific abuse. And my father left, they divorced. There's just no way, I think, that a family can survive all that. So it just broke the family apart. My mother remarried. The man she remarried was a wonderful man. He's passed now, but he was a wonderful man. But they started a church in our house that grew into this just really bizarre cult and grew into a pretty fairly large church in Oklahoma. And I'm pretty sure it still exists today, but it led to more abuse in the name of God, using air quotes there.
Yes.
And just a lot more abuse and a lot more bizarreness. And so I left that at 18. And moved to New York City and lived in New York City for 8 years. I worked 3 jobs to put myself through college. And then I focused on building my career. And I have worked for almost 3 decades in an all-male dominated industry. I married a woman that, while I was working on climbing the ladder, and that was really my focus, was I wanted a career. You know, I'd come from Oklahoma where careers didn't really exist back then, unless you were a farmer and you'd consider that a career. So I really wanted a career. I wanted to live in the big cities. And so I left New York City, moved to LA for the first time, and I've moved around a lot for work. But as I was working on climbing the ladder, I married a woman who I did not know had a hidden drug habit. And she herself has been through just some horrible, horrible childhood situations. And so my heart broke for her for that. And because I was raised so religiously, I was very naive to drugs and just didn't really understand what was happening. I thought maybe she was mentally ill like my mother. But she was extremely physically abusive. She broke my bones on a number of occasions. I had to have her arrested. It was just a really terrible situation for 6 years. And I finally broke free from that and left her, although that broke my heart because I loved her and her daughter, my stepdaughter. So that was really hard to lose my family all over again. And then the pinnacle is right out on the heels of that, I started working for this family that was a group of families that owned a group of companies. And I oversaw a couple of those companies. And their illegal activities slowly started to reveal themselves to me. And I started pushing back. I started questioning. I started digging in, not really understanding and still being kind of naive. And as time went on, I found a listening device in my office. I found remnants of one in my car. About 4 months later, I started getting sick, and I couldn't figure out why I was so sick. I turned gray. My skin was gray. I had sores in my throat and my ears. I felt like the right side of my face and head were going to burn off. I thought my right eyeball was going to burn out of its socket. I got paralysis in my hands a couple of times.
Oh my gosh. And what did the doctors, when you went to the doctors and said, what do I have? What kind of flu or weird biogerm do I have?
So as this was happening, I did not immediately go to the doctor. I thought it was like, is there mold in my apartment? Is there mold in my office? You know, what is happening? But all the people in the office kept questioning me, what is wrong with you? My eyes were swollen, bad headaches, very raspy voice. And so about 4 weeks later, I found some chemical pods up under my desk. And that was sort of the beginning of the unveiling of the poisoning that they were doing to me. I found them in my home, in my car, in my office. I was unknowingly ingesting them, wearing them on my body, breathing them in, and it made me horrifically sick. And that just led to more than a decade of just illnesses, Graves' disease and cancer. And
oh my gosh, Kendra, I'm going to just say your title right out loud. I can't believe you're not changing the preposition. I can't believe you're not dead.
I can't believe I'm not either.
Oh my gosh. And when you get that sick, right? It's hard to think rationally. It's hard to step back and be, quote, the observer and take note and go, oh, I got to go fix this problem. You're too sick.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, brain fog, you know, really just trying to survive, just trying to keep my head above water and try to figure out why is this happening to me?
Well, and I think it speaks loudly toward your immune system because you should have died.
Right. Oh, 100%. Should have died multiple times.
Yeah. And I want to talk a little bit about, and I know listeners, you can relate, when you have had trauma in your childhood, especially severe trauma like Kendra. Man, we all need to be in therapy by the time we're 8 years old. I swear it is never too soon. But what happens is based on the dynamics around you, because you have to have your parents to survive. And when there's not love and there's not nurturing, you can't even begin to latch on to anything. And so when you go into life, you think that's what life is like. And the drama keeps repeating itself. Right. And of course, you're attracted and fall in love with a person who's going to harm you because that's what you think love is. You didn't know that. You didn't know it was on her resume, so to speak, but there you go. And then there's that underlying vibration of worthiness. I have been naive so many times in my life because I tend to just think the good about everybody, right?
Right.
So I have been taken by the best and the worst. But so if anybody comes to you and said, well, what do you mean you didn't know that was an organized crime family? Honestly, the disguise coupled with the that can't really be happening. That's only on Law and Order, right? I have been there. I'll never forget a company I worked for, Kendra. I hired a woman to help organize and digitize all their legal documents. And she wasn't there 2 weeks, but she came into my office and closed the door, leaned up against the door and said, it would behoove you to move on as soon as possible from this organization. And even then I said, well, you know, I've got the summer camp money almost saved for my kids, so I'll stay another week. And then I fired myself, but I had no idea. And so, Kendra, I have such a deep appreciation for the blinders that we get based on what life conditioned and indoctrinated us and showed us what love is. And when you have a mentally ill parent like that, unless you've got a whole bunch of extended, unconditionally loving family, we're like, yeah, your mom's crazy. We got you. You know, no, you don't know for nothing. I'm now curious as to, okay, you got sick and you went on to get cancer and all the things that came from that toxic substance in your body. What was that defining moment, Kendra, where you said, You know what? I'm going to go and do some healing. And I mean real healing, where we can pull out the cords that someone has inside me and we can change my cognitive, my neuroplasticity. However that looks, folks, you can change the patterns in your brain. What was that defining moment, Kendra?
Yeah, I think I really just got to a point where I was sick and tired of being sick and tired, honestly. And I call it chasing the pain. I spent well over a decade chasing the pain with all these illnesses, and just it consumed my time, you know, other than really focusing on my career and continuously working hard to climb the ladder, to continue to climb the ladder, because that was really the baseline of my life and the fabric of my life.
And by the way, Kendra, understandably, because you needed a foundation, no one could create that for you. You had to go out and build that. And to protect your inner child.
Absolutely. And but I just hit that wall and said, I'm tired of being tired. I'm tired of being sick. I'm tired of living in fear. I was always looking over my shoulder. They weren't successful in killing me, but a CEO in the firm was murdered. So they were successful at least once. And so were they not satisfied with me still being alive? So I lived in fear. And it was really that living in fear and physical pain and mental anguish that I said, enough is enough. You know, I can't continue to live in this closed off world.
Right. Oh my gosh. And what made you do the research online? Okay. How do you tell people you're old without saying you're old? Did you pick up the phone? I used to say back in the day. How did you know what to do when you started pulling on threads, Kendra? What did that look like?
You know, I really just started digging in. There's so many things that I did, but I did. I started reading, trying to learn about healing from trauma. And so there's so many practices that I did, but you know, one of them was really started focusing on gratitude. I was always grateful for my career and my success, but really digging in and focusing on gratitude every day for everything in my life. I focused on opening myself up and letting the walls down and letting people in. And I still have to work on that. That's very, very difficult for me. And then also forgiveness, you know, forgiveness for all those people that hurt me. And there's been so many. But also forgiveness for myself for what happened to my brother, and then allowing myself to be in the situations that I did as an adult. So those are some of the things that I focused on to really try to move forward. But writing the book, getting the tattoo, spending a lot of time in Sedona, there's just I could write several books on all the things I did to really get me to where I'm at, to not just being a survivor, but being a thriver in life.
Right. Oh, I am so glad you did. And folks, I'll have links to Kendra's book in the show notes. So you can just click on it, go get a copy, because you want to know why she's still alive. You want to go and read about how she escaped abuse and a cult and attempted murder and the other insanities that life can throw at you, and still was willing to go and do the work and figure out how she could stop the pain, but also stop the patterns of life throwing her really difficult situations. So let's talk about your tattoo and all the details.
So it's the only tattoo I have. I was a tattoo virgin before I got this, and I've had this for, I guess, about 3.5 years. So just a bit before COVID that I got it. As I mentioned, I really started focusing on gratitude and being grateful for all things in my life and keeping a gratitude journal and just speaking gratitude as many times as I could throughout the day. And it's a scientific fact that practicing gratitude increases endorphins and it makes you feel better. And it really does. I can tell you, it really makes you feel better. It makes a big difference in your mental state of mind.
And for folks out there who like to know about the hard science behind that, your brain, when you're stuck in a rut, your brain just goes right into it. In the neuroplastic, you can just go ahead and look up that word and learn more about how your brain creates those grooves. And what you need to do is fill in those grooves and create new ones. And practicing gratitude starts new pathways in your brain. So instead of focusing on why am I always a victim, all of a sudden you're focusing on why life is working out so well for you. So Go ahead and talk about your tattoo.
I love that. I love that. Thank you for that. So in the vein of practicing gratitude, I knew that I needed a daily reminder. I needed something that I could look at on a daily basis to remind me that I am blessed and fortunate and lucky in life, and blessed and fortunate and lucky to be alive. And I use the word blessed. You know, for me, the word blessed, fortunate, and lucky are synonymous. So I'm not using that in a religious term. I'm using that really just because I am so blessed and lucky to live the life I live and to be alive. But I knew, you know, all the PTSD that I was working through and night terrors that I would have. I mean, my night terrors have been crazy over my lifetime. And I would run out of my hotel room. I travel a lot for work. I'd run out of my hotel room or my house in the middle of the night, wake up in strange places, always running from that's trying to kill me. And so I knew to change those pathways, I needed something consistent. And I decided that a tattoo that I could look at on a daily basis to remind me that I'm lucky to be alive, that I'm fortunate in my life. And when I was trying to figure out what the tattoo should be as a reminder, a daily reminder, I knew I needed to put it somewhere that I could see it easily as a tattoo virgin. The palm of my hand seemed natural because I can just look at it at any given time as a reminder. And then trying to decide the word was pretty easy for me because I did not want the word blessed on my body coming from the cult. I have a bit of disdain, even though I still use that word. And fortunate just didn't seem right. So lucky it was, knowing that I roll it into a ball of those three words. And so I went to Skin Design. They've got locations in Hawaii, in Las Vegas, all over the world, really. And Orlando Quintanilla was my designer, and he helped me design it. And I wanted it to look like something that I just wrote a note. And it does kind of look like it's something that I wrote. And I think at the time when I was thinking about it, because it was my first tattoo and because I work in the corporate world, I was afraid to have a tattoo that was visible. And so that was the other reason for choosing the palm of my hand, is if I needed to, you know, I do a lot of public speaking, I do a lot of presentations, I meet with a lot of clients, and I use my hands. So if I wanted to hide it, I could. I wave with my right hand, I shake hands with my right hand, so I put it on my left hand. And if I needed to hide it in a corporate meeting, I could. And so that's why I chose the palm. But Orlando helped me design it, and I love it. It's fantastic. It's such a conversation piece. But it really, for me, it is my reminder. And anytime I get frustrated or I get down, I can just look at my hand and it will take me back to the practice of gratitude.
Oh my gosh, it's the perfect mantra ready for you all the time. Because folks, when you start to retrain your brain and do all the things to change your life, you need a daily practice. And you don't have to quickly look around for the yellow sticky hanging around. You just have to hold up your hand and go, okay. And that will then help you do the right self-talk to help you stay in your daily practice. Now, listeners, there'll be photos. You know, I love to create a good reel after every conversation with my guests. So you'll see that. You'll see a photo of Kendra's book. You'll see a wonderful photo of Kendra. Be sure to hop on over to our Instagram feed at Tell Me Your Ink Story, or if you are on TikTok more frequently, hop on over there and join us at the Your Ink Story podcast on TikTok so you can see this wonderful image and learn more about Kendra and how she is inspiring folks through her story and through her remarkable book called I Can't Believe I'm Not Dead. That title, I laugh because it's so powerful. And sometimes we laugh to keep from crying, right, Kendra? When you've had certainly the flurry of intense trauma repeated again and again in your life like you have. What would you like to share with listeners to help them feel inspired toward 2024 as we enter yet another new year and folks are looking down the road and maybe they've gone through a lot of trauma in their life that they're trying to heal or just up against some tough challenges? And folks, this is life. We walk hand in hand with the light and the dark, and they both provide wonderful contrast moments that will add more meaning and richness to our lives, but they are not easy. But please remember, you can do hard things. What would you like listeners to know as they're facing and trying to dissolve problems and challenges and change their life?
Sure. I think a few things. One, to sort of focus on the tattoo art world, I have a lot of friends with a lot of tattoos and they love it. And they told me after I got my first one that I would be addicted and that I would want to get more. And I'm definitely not opposed to getting more, but it would have to be something that's very inspirational to me. But now I get it. Now I understand the ink world and the art of it, and that it is most of the times or often inspirational and motivational for people. So I think that's a beautiful thing. And I'm really glad I'm a part of it now. But it took me many, many years to get there. But it has just been such an important part of my daily life now. But I think for people that are going through trauma or tragedy or even just adversity, even if just you have adversity at work or at home, there's a few things. One, don't get stuck. Don't get stuck in a toxic situation, whether it's at work or at home. And I know that's easy to say because it took me 18 years to leave my mother's home. It took me 6 years to leave my marriage. And it took me 3 years to leave that toxic work environment. It took me many times to learn this, that you really have to recognize toxicity and move out of it as soon as you can. And so part of my work in the last 5 years has been teaching myself to recognize that immediately or as soon as I can and remove myself from that. And so I've done a lot of changes in my life to remove those negative and toxic people and aspects. I would say next, while you're trying to figure out your plan for removing yourself from a toxic situation, you've got to do things that bring you joy. You've got to do things that bring you happiness. So for me, I love to scramble and climb, do some rock climbing. I love off-roading. I love travel. But something that I can do on a daily basis is find laughter and humor. And for me, that really resets those pathways, as you said. And so finding things to make me laugh, I would encourage people when they're in those situations, you can't get stuck, but you have to find things that make you happy and bring you joy. And then once you move out of that, you've got to find a path to healing so that you can learn to not just be a survivor, but a thriver in life.
That is outstanding advice. Listeners, come on. It's so powerful. And yes, I know it can be hard to do, but you can do hard things and it's just baby steps. Don't look at the end result. Look at the next step and the next step and the next step that you need to take to change your life. And we want to know, what do you think about Kendra's story? What do you think about what she has overcome? And I'm not even going to say overcome is the right word, Kendra, right? It's what you've learned to live with and then also thrive in spite of the fact that you do need to live through this. I mean, just like grief, trauma, whew, it's always there. And you need to know how to hold its hand and sort of be the adult, right, in the situation when your trauma gets triggered and you want to go screaming from the room or hide under the covers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I agree.
Oh, my gosh. Well, this has just been an incredibly inspirational conversation. I think it's a great way to start the new year, chatting with you about what you've been through. Have you had anybody respond when they saw that? So here you are in your corporate world, and we know that the lens sometimes coming through the corporate world toward tattoos can be judgmental. There can be some intrinsic bias there. What have folks said when they see lucky on your palm? How does that ignite conversation and inspire connection?
It's done exactly that. I've gotten a lot of incredible feedback that people will see it. I use my hands to talk. And now I'm less concerned about people in the corporate world seeing it, but people will see a flash of it and I'll see it in their eyes that they're kind of questioning, did she write a note on her hand? Did she write, don't forget to pick up the milk? What's on her hand? And sometimes they'll ask me and I'll tell them just as I told you, this is my daily practice of gratitude and reminding myself that I'm lucky to be alive. And sometimes it'll lead to the conversation about my story or my book, or sometimes we leave it at that. But I've really just, it's a great conversation piece and I've gotten really good feedback. Although I will have to say a tattoo on your palm is very hard to keep. So I've had it redone 7 times in the last.
Oh, no kidding. Oh, yes. I didn't know this.
It falls out very easily.
Makes sense.
You wash your hands and it's just very tough to keep.
So Kendra, how painful is getting a tattoo on your palm?
Extremely. Extremely.
Oh my gosh,
painful.
7 times extremely. And it's painful.
Yeah, it's very painful. But the first year I had to get it redone 5 times. It fell out within 2 weeks because we didn't use the right color and the right skincare. So then I had to go back a month later and get it redone. And then I kept having to go back. And the last time within that first year, my tattoo artist was like really digging in. He was like, we are going to get this in here. And he was just pressing. And I said, do what you've got to do to make it stay. And so now every year and a half or so, I go get it touched up.
Well, we're going to have to get you some Painless Picasso, a non-toxic numbing cream by our wonderful guest from episode 18, Jamie Salcedo. It's just such a great, great product. He's a tattoo artist turned a wonderful firefighter for the New York City Fire Department.
Wow.
And now a founder. What I love about your writing the book, to me, the side benefit from all of that is that sometimes you will not have to go into details. You can go ahead and say, read my book,
right,
and ask any questions.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes people don't like that, but there are some things in my life that happen that are very difficult to talk about. I can,
of course, kind of course.
To really dig into them are difficult. So then I, when people want to know more, I just tell them, go take a look at the book.
Read the book and buckle up, folks. When you're reading Kendra's wonderful book, I Can't Believe I'm Not Dead. Seriously, you will find gems within those stories and understand how one can actually survive that level of consistent trauma. Oh my gosh, Kendra, I am so grateful that you joined us for this incredibly inspirational conversation with your beautiful story. And it is beautiful because of how you have reframed everything. It's beautiful and it's powerful. And your insights of life, the art of living, as well as the art of tattoos, and the heart and courage behind not just your tattoo, but your extraordinary life and your extraordinary wisdom. You have helped us connect more deeply with each other today through your stories. Thank you for joining me on the podcast.
Andy, thank you so much for having me on your show. I'm so grateful. It's been an honor to be here and it's been a lot of fun. So thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Your Ink Story. Please rate and review this podcast wherever you are tuning in. And if this episode inspired you, please share it so we can all feel more connected through our common humanity and lived experiences. If you or someone you know would like to share a meaningful ink story on the podcast, please send me an email, andy@yourinkstory.com, along with a brief description. Feel free to share your thoughts about this episode via a voicemail message by visiting yourinkstory.com. And when you get to the website, just tap the podcast mic icon located in the lower right-hand corner of the screen and leave your message. Until next time, I'm wishing you a delicious day everywhere you glow. Cheers!